Hello, you guys, and welcome to the Inner Growth Podcast. I'm so excited you are listening today, and I'm so excited to be here. I'm recording with Mafean Suarez today. She is the host of the I Miss Me podcast, and we have been Instagram flirting, DMing for a while, and I love your podcast. I'm so excited to have you, so welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I am so excited. We are live in the studio in New York. So the first question I like asking all of my guests is, do you know your big three in astrology?
I do.
We did not just look this up 2 seconds before.
Oh my gosh, I wasn't prepared for this, but I do. So Leo, Taurus, and Gemini.
So sun in Leo, rising in Taurus, and then moon in Gemini.
Yeah.
So first of all, the moon in Gemini makes so much sense because I know you know Kayla Rose. Kayla also has a Gemini moon. And Gemini, I feel like Gemini energy is so good for podcasting.
Really?
Writing, podcasting, social media, like wow. Communication is what Gemini is all about. So like anyone with a Gemini moon, I find be drawn to at least something related to communication. Wow. So I love that. And then I feel like Leo and Cancer, or Leo to me also, you being like having your son there, Leo is literally all about like love and like self-love, but then also romance at times. So like shining bright and like taking up space. And I feel like that's what your podcast is all about. So that's your mini reading.
That's so
and
cute.
I'm also, I'm a Taurus and then you have the Taurus rising. Really? So do you love either like candles, perfumes, music, clothes?
I love
anything
clothes.
Like that.
And I love music. I don't have a smell. I can't smell things.
Really?
Yeah. So not into like candles or like anything like smell related, but I do love like clothes and music. Yeah. I love music. So
love music.
I mean, I've never been super into astrology, being like completely honest, but like I have always known I'm super Leo. Like I don't identify with any other like zodiac sign that's not a Leo. So
I feel like a lot of people like that aren't into astrology like
have
not either gotten a reading or like fully read everything about their chart.
100%.
So it's if you do that one day, I find that you probably will resonate with the other parts of your chart, but it's hard to know just from like me telling you 5 seconds about seconds worth of information. But definitely look into it after. And something I really want to talk to you about today is detachment, because I actually just did a Q&A recently on my Instagram and someone requested a podcast about detachment. Mm-hmm. And then I was literally watching all of your TikTok videos and you talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
So let's just dive into it. Like you mentioned in some of your TikToks that you have struggled in the past with feeling like you attach a lot to things or to people. Mm-hmm. So can you share, first of all, a little bit about your journey with attaching to things or situations or relationships? How has that been for you in the past?
I'll just start from the beginning. I started my podcast about like 2 years ago. I went through a breakup. through a breakup around like 3-4 years ago, and like that completely changed my life and like shaped me and made me the person that I am today because of everything that I learned about myself through the experience of heartbreak that I know a lot of us have gone through. But it just made me, I think, rediscover myself. That's the name of like I Missed Me. Like I missed feeling the peace that I had when I was a kid, when I was like, I didn't know that heartbreak like was a thing. So that's kind of like the purpose and the message behind my podcast. And like after, you know, going through like my spiritual journey and like self-growth, I understood and like kind of came to terms with the fact that like the main reason why we suffer is because we attach to things like people and relationships, situation, opportunities. And that's kind of how I learned the power of detachment. It's just understanding that you really cannot control anything or anyone outside of yourself and outside of the way that you react to situations. And so definitely something that I still struggle with. I think we all struggle with it because we all have a mind. And then I got super into like psychology and how the subconscious mind works and everything. But I think that my attachment came from insecurity. Mm-hmm. Of like, I feel like I need to control because if I don't control, then things are not going to work out the way that I want them to work out. And I think that, again, comes from a place of insecurity and not feeling worthy of receiving the things that I want. So I think that when you're attached, you feel the need to control everything and control everyone, because if you don't control it, then you feel like the universe is not going to give it to you because you don't feel worthy of it. I think that that's the subconscious belief of it. Mm-hmm. And so it was just kind of reprogramming my mind of like, what makes me think that I am not worthy of receiving things? And if things don't work out, what makes me think that the universe has something worse for me? And so that's kind of how, you know, my journey of like discovering detachment has like been. Also understanding that if you're attached, you're already feeling pain. And the situation is going to be whatever the situation is going to be, like, regardless. So you're already feeling like two different pains, like the pain of attaching yourself to a situation and trying to control, and the pain of whatever the situation is going to be. And you don't even know if the situation is going to be painful. So I think that has been my journey with detachment. Also, I've learned how to understand that the universe never replaces what exits your life with something worse. And again, that comes back to self-worth of like, I deserve good things. So if something doesn't work out, then the universe is just going to replace it with something better for me that's actually meant to be in my life.
Yeah.
And that is just a matter of detaching, understanding that because I am worthy of good things, whatever is leaving my life is because I deserve good things. So I think detachment comes hand in hand with like self-worth and understanding that because you deserve good things, then whatever doesn't happen is not the best that you're going to find.
So, yeah. Oh my God. So much to unpack. Yeah. I have so much to say. But I feel like something that really stuck out to me from what you just shared is that attachment or detachment has a lot to do with control.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. So it's almost like they're synonyms. It's like when you are attaching yourself to something is you are trying to over control that thing, or maybe you're making out that thing to be what you are worth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because when I think, oh, I'm attaching myself to the situation, it's like this is defining me.
Yeah.
Right. Like this is attached to me, therefore to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So if this thing doesn't happen the way I think it's supposed to, then I am not enough or I am not deserving of XYZ. And then I also think you shared a lot about how you can kind of tap into an abundance mindset and more self-trust and trust in something bigger in the universe, that the best things in the world come also sometimes when you don't try to control every little thing, right? And something I say a lot is when you're trying to manifest anything into your life, you are not in control of the how or the when.
Mm-hmm.
You're in control of the what and the why, right? So it's like, why do I want this thing? And what is it that I really want? And setting that intention and then realizing that like, maybe you can't even recount exactly how you met your best friend. Maybe you can't even recount exactly how something really good played out little by little in the exact way, in the exact sequence of events. It just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing that you are not in control absolutely of like the how.
Yeah, exactly. And like, something I've been resonating with a lot because I was listening to this podcast episode of Tumbly You and this like psychologist that talks about happiness and like how happiness actually, you know, is generated in your brain. And he talks a lot about intention without attachment. And that is like the key to happiness, because I think that a lot of people think that detachment means not caring or just like letting things be and like, I don't care about this because like if I attach to it or if I try to control it, then I'm going to suffer. So like, I don't care. I don't care anymore. I don't care about my friends. I don't care. Like detachment means not caring. And that is not what detachment means. Detachment just means that you know what you want, but the how can come in many, many ways. And I think that that is just such a beautiful thing to come to terms with. It's just, you know, living with that mindset of like intention without attachment. And that is something that I personally like applying in my life anymore. Now is I know what I want, but I don't know how I'm going to get it. And I know that there's a path that I want to take, but if that path doesn't work out, I know that it's for a reason that it didn't work out. But I know that there's just like that path was an option. There's like millions of options, and it doesn't mean that you don't have a goal. It just means that the goal is not your identity. Like what you said, like the goal doesn't define you, or the goal doesn't define who you are or your self-worth or how much love you have to give. It's just a goal. And if that goal doesn't work out, then you just make another one.
Or maybe it's because you're being redirected to find what would be even more in alignment with who you are meant to be.
Exactly. So I think when it comes to detachment, that would be my biggest advice, is just jump into that intention without attachment mentality of like, there's millions of possibilities, and whatever one doesn't work out is because there is just something better.
I love that framing. And I feel like that just kind of like consolidates it into such an easy to remember phrase, right? Intention without attachment. And it's interesting because this theme of letting go, I think, has been very, very real in my life recently, because I have a friend, like I'll make a slight tangent. I have a friend who came to visit me in October, and she was living in Argentina. She came to visit me in New York, and she ended up staying for, she was going to stay for a week. And then she got here and things were flowing, and we're like on this walk, and I turned to her and I'm like, what if you just extend your trip? Like, why don't you just stayed another week.
Yeah.
And she was like, let me see if I can change my flight. And then she goes and she changes her flight and she stays for one more week. And in that span of time, she basically was like, what if I move to New York?
Oh my God.
And she like started seeing, like things started just flowing with her job. And she was like, I don't know exactly how this is going to play out, but I trust that if it's meant to work out, it will. And I know that I deserve this move. And I know that it's going to work out, kind of being DeLulu, literally just being like, I know it will work out, but I don't have to know the how exactly. And she embodied this mindset so, so perfectly that everything fell into place. And I can't even tell you exactly how it did because I'm not her, but she just moved to New York 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Like a few months later. And I was having dinner with her recently and we were talking about this and we were like, wow.
Wow.
You did it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she mentioned that she is just in this letting go mindset of like, this is what I know would be amazing, but I don't have to know every detail about how it's going to play out and trusting
for sure
something bigger, or trusting that you are doing enough by just taking aligned action and everything else can fall into place if you let it. And I feel like the theme of letting go has just been really highlighted for
me. Resonating with you.
And resonating a lot with me, because by witnessing this in her, I was like, wow, there are so many things I want in my life. But I know that the more I overthink about it and about the how and how I'm going to achieve and how I'm going to do it, the harder it is.
Yeah.
Because the more you get caught up in your head instead of being in the present and like taking action towards it.
For sure.
So can you share a little bit about this subconscious, like mental side of it, which I know you're very passionate about, how it ties into our comfort zone and into safety, and why that sometimes gets in the way of detaching?
Yeah, I think, and I got into like the psychology part of it because I am a very, as spiritual as I am super just like rational, and like I need to know the why behind of things. If not, it's going to be hard to believe. That's why I'm kind of not into astrology, because there's like, maybe it's because I haven't like bet on it, but it's like I need proof. I need to know like how it's actually working. So I got kind of into like neuroscience, and like basically it all comes down to the fact that we are wired for survival. Like we all are. Like that, everything that we do is because we are all wired for survival. Like we're animals, and like that's the truth of it. So we're wired for survival. We want to have more relationships because if we have more relationships, we're going to feel safe. We need food because we're going to survive. We need water because we're going to survive. We need to feel safe because in a safe environment, we're going to survive. And that's why people stay in toxic relationships, because it feels safe, because we've been there for long enough and we haven't died. And so our mind is always going to, you know, take us back to where we survive. And so when it comes to detachment, it's hard for us because we've never done it. So I think, obviously, when change feels uncomfortable and like detaching feels uncomfortable again, because we've never done it, and like doing something that we've never done is like uncomfortable, but especially for our subconscious mind is unsafe.
Or wanting something you've never had.
Exactly. It's just unsafe. And so that's why obviously it's so much easier to just stay where you are always, to just stay in the toxic relationship, to just stay in the job that's not making you happy, but you know, it's giving you enough to live, or to stay with your toxic friends that never invite you anywhere, but like, hey, I have friends, you know, I'm safe. So I think just being attached to something has this like very, very underlying fear, whether we're conscious of it or not, of dying. I think it's just coming to terms with the fact that if I leave my toxic ex, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die if I stop hanging out with my friends that are not inviting me to places. I'm not going to die if I don't get this opportunity that I really wanted. So I think just understanding that everything that we go back to, or everywhere where we choose to stay that is not necessarily making us happy, is because we want to survive. And when you realize that your brain is doing it to protect you, that's how you kind of start building a friendship with yourself. Because I think that our inner conflict is very much tied to like not being friends with ourselves, like within, you know, like
Or even being like, oh, I want new friends, or I want to have better friendships.
Yeah.
Oh, but I don't trust that inner compass is right, because I'm clearly already have friends. Maybe this is all I can have. And then you don't realize that you actually have that inner compass, and that your mind in a way, in a subconscious way, is directing you to finding new friends. But you're not yet in that friendship with yourself to trust that you can choose a different action and still get a better result.
So I think that's kind of how it happened for me while growing up. I think I grew up playing tennis and like speaking horribly to myself. Like I wasn't my friend at all. And so I consciously knew what a healthy relationship with myself looked like, but unconsciously I had a very unhealthy relationship with myself. And so I, for example, struggled a lot with being by myself, not necessarily because being by yourself is a bad thing, but because of the thoughts that I got while being by myself of like, you're not enough, you're not worthy, you're alone because you don't have any friends, you know? And so I go back to toxic people, I go back to toxic places, and a lot of us do that. And when you understand that, your brain just takes you back to where it feels safe because it loves you and it wants to keep you safe, then instead of hating your brain, or instead of hating your mind for taking you back to toxic places, you're going to start appreciating it and seeing it as a gift of like, you don't want to take me back because you think that I deserve those things. You want to take me back because you want to keep me safe. So thank you for that. But like consciously now, I don't want to be there. And so I think it's just bringing your unconscious mind and your unconscious habits to a more like conscious place of like, why are you doing this to keep me safe? Okay, like I can be safe in a lot of more places. And so I think that's how it happens. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting concept. And I also find it intriguing that you keep using the word safe, because I am also very fascinated by the subconscious mind. And I love the book, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. Mm-hmm. If you have not read that.
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And so you know how good it is, right? And I'm sure that's also something you're very passionate about in so many different ways. So I knew that you had already read it. Yeah. But for anyone listening who wants to know more about the subconscious mind, definitely read that book. And something that he says in that book a lot is that our subconscious basically rules the show, right? And yeah, we can be aware of certain thoughts, but like there's so much stored underneath our conscious mind that we don't even know is there. And it has just been created by all of our experiences. Mm-hmm. And you basically mentioned like that's our comfort zone. That's our quote unquote safety zone. So maybe you're in a toxic relationship and maybe it doesn't even feel safe. Like maybe it's really, really bad, but it's just your comfort zone. It's just where you've always been at. So your brain just finds information to reinforce those beliefs. And something I work on a lot with all of my clients when we're creating new beliefs around food, new beliefs around body image, new beliefs around self-worth, self-love, is first you have to become aware of what are those thoughts. As you were saying, like, for example, the thoughts you used to have when you played tennis, right? It's like, how do you become aware of those limiting beliefs of that self-talk? And then how do you stop it? Because in the moment that you stop it, that's when you start creating a new belief. But then for that new belief to actually become part of your mindset, you have to enforce it with action. So you have to choose a different path. And you were saying like, oh yeah, you're not gonna like die, like even though maybe your prehistoric body thinks that choosing a different action is unsafe, you're not gonna die, like you're fine. But maybe you have to choose a different path to get a different result, and maybe your like current self will die, like the current way you live your life will have to be let go of for you to create a new version of you and to have that rebirth. So in a way it's like a metaphorical death that happens. Right, so what do you feel like in your journey, in your inner growth journey, has been maybe something that you used to attach yourself to and that you're either still working on detaching from, or that you have detached from and that has really helped you grow?
I think I struggled a lot with loneliness and just like letting go of relationships. I think that that has been a common factor all throughout my life, is just having to trust that there is more than one person or one relationship, or like I'm trying to word this, like that I'm that I deserve good people. You know what I mean? I think that there was this subconscious belief in my mind that, again, growing up, I was horribly with myself and I like completely hated myself. And I was like, I am not worthy of receiving good things because I don't give results when I play a tennis match. And it sounds super stupid, but again, your brain doesn't argue with you. It agrees with you. And that's a huge one that I always say, like, your brain doesn't argue with you. It agrees with you. And so
tell it what you want it to think.
Yeah, exactly. And so the reason why it's so important to be nice to yourself, and it sounds super cliche, and I know how much people can hate listening to it, is like, be nice to yourself. It's like, no, like I'm making all of these mistakes, like how can I be nice to myself? But like the reason why it's so important is because your brain doesn't argue with you, it agrees with you. And so if you're constantly telling yourself that you're not worthy, then because your brain doesn't argue with you and it agrees with you, it will constantly put relationships in front of you that remind you why you're not worthy. So the ex-boyfriend that reminds you why you're not worthy, opportunities that like, or you get rejected from, opportunities that remind you why you're not worthy, or again, friendships that remind you why you're not worthy. And it's like, and that makes you hate yourself more, that makes you hate your mind more. It's like, see, I told you, you were not worthy. But again, like, your brain wants to keep you safe and it loves you so much that it just wants to agree with you. And because, again, our subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what's good and what's not. It just knows. It mm-hmm. doesn't know who's treating you right and who's not.
You did the right beliefs.
Exactly. So
yes, true.
I think I completely did not answer your question, but okay.
No, because you were saying loneliness. Yeah,
and
yeah, that's
and so because of that, I would just stay in relationships for longer than I should have, or with people that I shouldn't gotten myself involved with, because I think my brain just had a lot of fear of being alone. And not necessarily of the moment of letting go, but the moments that come after it. I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate when, like, you first break up with someone and, like, the breakup itself is very okay. But, like, when you go no contact and you have to fight the anxiety of, like, having to text that person or, like, having to, like, sit with yourself alone and, like, cry and, like, feel all your pain, like, that is uncomfortable. Like, feeling pain is uncomfortable. And so because I didn't want to do that work and because I didn't want to feel that pain and feel uncomfortable, going back is just easier, you know? So, or acting out of anxiety and acting out of trauma and not intuition is just so much easier. So mm-hmm. I think that was a big one for me. And now I think I just make decisions way more consciously, understanding how my brain is working and knowing that I want to go back because it's comfortable, not because it's actually healthy.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that can apply to so many different, maybe unhealthy everything. It helps habits it that people applies have. With everything.
Yeah.
And something you mentioned, I don't know if it was in a TikTok or in a podcast episode, is that what you have to do instead is make you the comfort zone. It's yeah. Make you your own safety net. Hmm. And when you start realizing that you are your own safety net or you are your own comfort zone, then that's what you will always come back to.
Yeah. And that's why I talk a lot about the self on my podcast of, like, I think a lot of people love to put themselves in this victim mindset of, like, I am this way because she said that, or I'm this way because I got bullied, or I am this way because my parents didn't know any better when I was growing up and that made me this way. And it's like, yes, but it happened. You know what I mean? And you can only act from now and you can only decide to stay here or become a better person. And that's why I always bring everything back to work on yourself. And I know it's super cliche, but, like, that is genuinely the only way that you're going to be at peace with everything in your life. And, like, the reason why we suffer so much when relationships end, it's because we identified with that feeling or with that person. Or when we lose friendships, we identified ourselves with having a lot of friends. And so when now that I don't have a lot of friends, then who am I, you know? So if you make yourself your identity, like, ultimately and literally, if you make yourself your identity and if you find peace within yourself and if you make yourself a comfortable and, like, safe space, you're never going to feel uncomfortable when someone leaves your life. You're never going to feel uncomfortable when something doesn't work out the way that you want it to work out, because you're with you all the time.
You already feel like you're
exactly
enough.
So yeah, that's why it's so important. It's not like this. I know how cliche it sounds and how, like, ugh, it sounds, because that's all I heard mm-hmm. when I was, like, going through my personal journey. But I didn't understand. And that's why I got so much into the brain and as to the how. Because if I don't have a how or a why, I struggle to believe it. So for me, everything is just, like, an aesthetic, stupid Pinterest quote until I understand, like, the why behind it. So mm-hmm. be nice to yourself. Make yourself a safe space and become your best friend. And that's why. So
yeah, yeah. That becomes your why. Exactly. To choose good things mm-hmm. or to make better choices.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. And right now in this phase of life, what do you think is causing the most inner growth for you?
I think,
AKA, what is causing you to connect with yourself in a new way or to grow in a new way?
Yeah, I think a big one for me right now is unlearning and, like, keeping myself humble in the sense of, like, I can always learn something new. I think right now I'm actually in the most peaceful mindset that I've ever been. And I think that's being reflected on, like, the relationships that I have. I don't think I've ever had, like, the amount of, like, healthy and, like, happy relationships that I have. I'm choosing them, and I consciously know that I have them because they either support my growth or are inspiring me to grow. Mm-hmm. I think right now I'm in a very good place, but I think I only got to this very good place when I kind of took myself out of that pedestal of, like, thinking that I know everything and putting myself in this position where I don't know everything, so I have to start learning again. And so that, for me, that looks like reading or like interviewing people and like getting to know their story and like why they think how they think, or like listening to podcasts of like from psychologists and like mentors and like people that definitely know more than me, so that I can learn and then unlearn and then learn more. So I think that that is what's keeping me growing. I'm like, right now,
that is the merging, beautiful merging of your Gemini and your Leo. Yeah. Literally, like, that is it. Because, like, Leo, I think sometimes the shadow side of Leo can be pride, which is kind of what you were saying.
Oh, being 100%.
Like, I know everything.
Yeah,
like,
and that's no why one can tell me anything. I think I've identified with Leo my whole entire life, because I've always been extremely, like, just a leader and, like, outspoken. And, like, I will always speak my mind and I will always stand up for myself. And I think that sometimes that has played in a negative way in my life, where I like just react out of anger and not think. And yeah, it has happened to me in the past, but I don't necessarily feel like it's a bad thing to stand up for yourself sometimes. And I think that I've learned how to transform that into a positive, think, mindset.
Which
now,
I think, is the Gemini, is like, how do you stay curious? How do you, and kind of develop a learner's mindset? How do you learn from the people around you, or realize maybe you don't have all the answers? So that's why I was saying, like, the perfect merging of those. But that was actually my next question, because the way I discovered your Instagram and your podcast is when you went on Kayla Rose's podcast, Skinny Dipping Diaries, and I am good friends with Kayla. And so I remember after that, I went on to your podcast, and I don't know if it was the episode you recorded on her podcast or your own, but you were kind of talking about this, about reactivity. And this is also probably for me one of the biggest areas of my inner growth journey, is
we're Hispanic.
Yeah. It's like, how do you deal with that fire inside, and how do you tame it so that you don't burn things and people around you?
Yeah.
So how have you grown from that? Or like, what is something you remind yourself of to find ways to lead and to have relationships that are healthy while still feeling like you can stand up for yourself or you can speak your mind?
Yeah, I think it all comes back to the self. I think that when you learn how to be patient with yourself, you learn how to be patient with others. And I think learning how to give grace to yourself when you still react out of anger, I don't think it's a bad thing to still make mistakes, because then you discover that you still have things to work on. Like, just yesterday, I like started yelling at my sister because we got stuck in like the middle of the road. And then immediately after I like yelled at her, I like apologized. And I think,
kind of again, coming down to the pride, I apologize?
Growing doesn't necessarily make you perfect. I think it just makes you aware of when you make mistakes. And I think that when you're in like that pride position, you can't even like be aware of when you make mistakes. You know what I mean? And so I think that you don't have to go from 0 to 100 where you're just not reacting anymore. And then tomorrow you're literally like
the most peaceful
Buddha.
Like,
if you had just like smoked weed and like, I don't care about anything. Right. But I think it's just being 1% better every day. And for me, it's just, I just never apologized in my life. I just never did, even when I knew I was wrong. And I would just never apologize. And I wouldn't care about how I made you feel. I wouldn't care about like the things that I told you. It already happened. Like, there's no point of me apologizing. And I think apologizing takes a lot of humbling. And it was really hard for me. And so now I still react and I still have my moments, but now I apologize like as soon as I make the mistake. And I think that's a huge growth. And I think I still have a lot to work on, but I think that, again, it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't make mistakes, but it just means that you learn how
to deal with them.
That, and like learn that you're making mistakes faster, you know, learn what mistakes are the moment that you make the mistake of like, I shouldn't have done that. Where in the past, I knew that I shouldn't have done that, but like,
you take the extra step to be like, okay, that was not
exactly
the right move or the right thing to say, which is so powerful. And that takes so much growth. And literally, like, I can't believe you're 20 years old. Like, it's mind-blowing to me, because you are very wise and it's very cool to see. But I love what you said, that growth does not make you perfect, because that is the whole point, is growth is realizing you are imperfect and still choosing to keep going, like still choosing to meet yourself where you're at, and realizing that it's about that blend of self-acceptance and self-love, but then also permeating that love to other people.
Yeah.
And apologizing always goes a really long way. And I think that's just super good advice on that topic. And that is also the perfect segue for us to do our final rapid fire question round. So let's get into that. Yeah. The first question I like to ask everyone is, what makes you feel like your higher self?
I think just being at peace with who I have and with where I'm at. I think that you, again, like we were talking on like my episode, your body speaks to you. And when I don't have the right people around me, I do feel a lot of anxiety. When I'm not in the right places, I do feel like I could be doing more or that I'm not doing enough. And I just feel anxiety all the time. So I think that I feel my best when I have the right people around me, when I am doing what I love with a lot of compassion of like, I know that I could be doing more, but look at everything that I've done. So yes. I think giving a lot of grace to myself and just feeling at peace with everything and with everyone that's in my life right now. And I think, when there's a lot of presence.
Self-acceptance. Yeah. Love that. And yeah, that's a perfect reminder. If you guys are listening to this episode and you want to listen to our podcast swap, you can listen to my episode on I Missed Me. So definitely check that out. And next question is, do you have any books that you would recommend to anyone
so
listening?
So many. I have, you said the Power of the Subconscious Mind, The Secret, The Power of Now, Atomic Habits I'm reading right now.
Oh my God, all my favorites.
Yeah. Those are like my big four that I think a lot of people just always say like, oh my gosh, you're 20, you're so mature. But it's like, it's because of
these books. They're so powerful. We were talking about my kind of like inner growth journey and kind of what kickstarted that for me in 2020. And at the time I was 21 and that's when I read The Power of Now.
Yeah. It's and literally like and I've read life. It four times and I will continue to read it whenever I feel lost.
So. Yeah. It's the best compass, honestly.
It really is.
Yeah. Okay, next question is, do you have a quote or a mantra that you love or that you come back to frequently?
Yeah, I think lately it has been, the most important thing is to always keep the most important things the most important things. And I think that's just a reminder to always keep your priorities, and to always keep the most important people the most important people. And just the most important things, always the most important things, regardless of what you're doing. Like, no matter how much you're rushing, how much you have to do, how much work I have, like, my parents will always be the most important people. Or like, I don't have time for whatever in my life, but I will always have time for my parents, or I will always have time for my family. I will always have time for the people that I love, for the things that I love doing. And never forget, like, no matter how much is going on in your life, never forget about the most important things.
Yes. Love that. And what does inner growth mean to you?
I think that it comes hand in hand with my definition of healing. I don't think it's like it will, it's a journey that never ends. But I think it's just accepting every single version inside of you and loving all of them equally. Like, I love the best version of myself and I love my worst, as hard as it is. And I think it's really hard. So I think that that is why it takes so much time. But I think that's the only way that you're truly gonna get to that like point of self-love, is like loving every single version of yourself. Like, I love 13-year-old me that made so much mistakes and used to hit the racket on court because of her. Me now, it definitely takes a lot of work to be able to like see that with forgiveness and grace, but I think that is inner growth. Yeah,
that's beautiful. Okay, and then the last question is, if someone did not hear anything that we said and they just heard this part, what would you leave them with?
Oh my gosh. I would ask them to go listen to everything that we just said. No. I think it goes back to my quote of like, always keep the most important thing the most important things. Like, always prioritize your most important things. Like, regardless of whatever. Like, regardless, always prioritize the most important things.
Yes. Keep your priorities straight. Thank you so much for coming on Inner Growth. This was so fun. I'm so grateful for you. And thank you for sharing
so many amazing things.
Yeah. And can you share where everyone can follow you and listen to your podcast?
Yeah, of course. You can find me as Mafi Ansures, is my personal socials. I am the host of I Missed Me podcast on all social media if you want to go check it out. I also have a clothing brand. If you go to nonameproject.co, you can go find the hoodie and That's me.
Yes. And all of that will be linked below. Thank you guys so much for listening or watching on YouTube. If you guys are watching, I appreciate you so much. Don't forget to water yourself, to pour into yourself. And if you are watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. And if you're listening on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, don't forget to hit the bell icon so you can be in the loop of all future episodes. Mafi, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
I will see you guys next week. Bye. Mm-hmm.